5 o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The future of Patrick Peterson is a conversation that we have had many times and we will have again many times until he either re-signs with the Arizona Cardinals or goes somewhere else. And we've been through this, like I say, many, many times. How coveted is he? What kind of deal can he get? How much money can he make? How badly does he want to stay? As Gambo, you've suggested a few times, is there a better system out there for him that makes better use of his skills?
Sure.
At this stage in his career, right? These are all factors into this conversation about Patrick Peterson. And, of course, in the middle of it is this burning need the Cardinals have to have a cornerback next year. That room is really thin and really empty, and that matters in this conversation. That's part of it, to be sure.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with Pat Pete. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, the market's got to be determined, and, you know, what somebody else – we don't know what anybody else would offer him, and we don't know what the Cardinals would offer him. They do have the ability to keep him with the tag. So they if they determine that we're not going to lose him, they can tag him. And there's several tags that are available, but we know the franchise tag is a one-year deal, and I think it's a top five – the average of the top five salaries. So you would completely overpay him for 1 year. But you do have that ability to make sure he doesn't leave if you determine that you can't get anybody else at that position that's, you know, that's on the same level as Patrick Peterson. Which, you know, again, I mean, there was a list the other day of top free agents, you know, and the Cardinals had two of them in the top, 50 free agents. One was Hassan Reddick and one was Patrick Peterson. But he's clearly not worth the salary they would pay him on a tag. We can agree to that. But you might have no choice
yes.
if you determine that you don't have anybody else to play that position.
Yeah, he's clearly not worth the salary that you would pay him on a tag. That you're absolutely right about that. But you are so thin at that position, and you have so many question marks at that position. And then there's Peterson himself, and this is what's got us talking about Pat Pete today. He was on the All Things Covered podcast, a podcast that here we are January 20th, and I'm surprised that we continue to reference it, but it continues to be, and credit to the podcast, man, it continues to be a source of great content. If you're a Cardinals fan and you kind of want to hear what's going on inside of Patrick Peterson's brain, it's been something we have frequently cited all season long here on the Burns and Gambo show. While on the podcast, he said, look, what do I wish? I wish I could get an opportunity to play for Todd Bowles again.
You know, Coach Bowles definitely, I tell him all the time, every time I get an opportunity to see him, I wish I get an opportunity to play with him again, because Coach Bowles definitely, he's a special, special football-minded coach. And I definitely cherish all the moments that we had an opportunity to spend together.
Just expressing a wish, or is he planting a seed?
Yeah, I think that, I think you plant seeds at this point. I think I'm going to be a free agent. I need to make, you know, Todd Bowles could end up being a head coach. The Philadelphia Eagles interviewed him for their head coach. If he gets that job, you know, maybe he'll want to bring some players that he's familiar in with him. And those players that could, you know, lead a locker room. I could be that guy, you know. And so I think you're always looking at situations and coaches and where they're going to be. And, you know, you try to put some feelers out there, you know, real early in case he does get that job. You know, so if I'm Patrick Peterson, I don't know if the Cardinals want me back right now, and I don't know how much the Cardinals are willing to pay me, but I want to maximize my value, and a great way to do that is to put some feelers out there and let it be known that I'm willing to play in a bunch of different places.
Yeah, and by mentioning Bowles specifically, I mean, that then takes us down a different road of, okay, well, which Todd Bowles is he talking about? Is he talking about the Todd Bowles who's the defensive coordinator of the Bucs right now, or is he talking about Todd Bowles who might be the next head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles? Now, we don't know that for sure, obviously. In fact, I haven't really heard much of anything specific to what the Eagles are going to do with their head coaching vacancy, but Todd Bowles' name has come up in that regard, and certainly he would have the power to bring in a guy like Peterson if he's the head coach, more than he would as the defensive coordinator of the Bucs. Or, you know, there's a chance here that he was just expressing a wish, kind of like you expressing a wish on what you would do if you won Mega Millions last night, which you didn't win. Or was it the Powerball tonight? Is that the one you're hoping to win tonight?
I got that. My group. My group of six of us. We've got we just turned our Mega Millions, our $18 Mega Millions winnings into the Powerball tickets for tonight.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you talking about buying a house in Lake Como, Italy, I mean, that's not like a plan. That's a wish, right? That's a, oh man, I wish I could win Mega Million so I could buy that.
Yeah, the house that I want
million.
Is a wish. Yeah, the
right?
house that I would want, that's a wish.
It's a
but
wish.
That, I mean, I can still have that plan without having that house.
Yeah, and so Patrick Peterson might have just been having a genuinely honest reaction to a question about, hey, what do you want? Man, I'd love to go play for Todd Bowles again. I don't know if it can happen. You know, I'd love to go play for him again. It speaks to how much he enjoyed his time with Todd Bowles. And let's be honest, we all kind of enjoyed our time with Todd Bowles here too. That was nothing against Vance Joseph. He did a fine job this past year. But when Bowles was the defensive coordinator, well, it was good enough to get him the head coaching job for the Jets. He was outstanding as the defensive coordinator here. I can see why Patrick Peterson might want to be reunited with Todd Bowles. He is a very good defensive coach.
Yeah, and again, that defense, you want to be able to have – he wants to play in a defense that's more one side of the field, zone, rather than man-to-man and chasing a guy all over the field. That doesn't work as well for him when he's got a – you talked about that, going across the field. That's not really what he loves to do. So, you know, he could be looking for a defense that's better suited to what his skill specialties are.
He could be. And I'm sure if it's – you know, I imagine these decisions, you know, and I can't imagine because I'm not a professional athlete. I've never had to decide things like this. But when you're talking about everything that's on the line, I'm sure there's one part of your brain that's going to say, hey, take the most money. Who's ever offering you the most money, take it. This is your last big contract. Go earn it. And then there's another part of your brain that's saying, take the job that is the best opportunity for you. And I guess in some ways that is a real life decision now that I think about it. I think people all the time in the real world choose between jobs that they'll make more money at or jobs that are actually better jobs. You know, jobs where they will be better at that job. And that might be the decision that Patrick Peterson is looking at this offseason. Do I go where the money is the best, or do I go where the opportunity to be my best is, even if it's not as much money? Because if he does that, he might be able to play longer in this league rather than going somewhere where the situation's not as good. It's a really, like I say, it's going to be a really interesting offseason for Patrick Peterson. I can't wait to see how it turns out. I have no idea what's going to happen with that because it's just a very complex question for Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, we've seen, I mean, I remember when Aeneas Williams was done and he went to the Rams. It was like, oh, man, he was such a great Cardinal player. Like Patrick Peterson, such a great Cardinal player. But at the end of his career, he spent his last few years with the Rams, and you know that's what happened. I mean, I could see that happening for Pat Pete. I could see him, you know, going somewhere else, especially, you know, if he's able to get a contract that the Cardinals don't want to touch. And that's a possibility, right? Because there's not a great cornerback market, and you know, he's still considered a good player, even though he's not a great player anymore.
I maybe I'm overthinking it, and maybe it's just a matter of Pat Pete's going to take whoever offers him the most money. Because usually,
on the last deal, if it's your last deal.
That's how this works, right? You're going to, it's your last deal. I'm going to take the offer that makes me the most money. And you don't worry about fit and you don't worry about anything else because you're never going to get another contract. But maybe if he's wishing to play with a guy like, for a guy like Bowles again, maybe more goes into this conversation than just money for him. I mean, usually it's about the money, but maybe this one will be about something different for Patrick Peterson.
I tend to think that you're probably right, especially if the offers are really different, right? If it's super close, okay. But if somebody's offering him more years and more guaranteed money, man, if you think there's a chance that that's your last deal, you'll probably go that direction.
Yeah, a couple other things Pat Pete said today when he was on the All Things Covered podcast. They started talking about Deshaun Watson. He does not believe Deshaun Watson will be on the Houston Texans next year.
Question for you. I know I have my answer. Do you believe Deshaun Watson will play for the Texans in 2021?
Nope.
And the team that he suggested as one that you have to watch out for is in the Cardinals division.
That man is gone.
Yeah, man, he out of there. I don't know who he's going to play for, but, hey, I won't be surprised, though, if we see him in the 49ers uniform.
That's one of the listen, I think the Jets have the best chance to get Deshaun Watson. Simply put, they've got the inventory. You know, the Adams trade helped them, right? They got two firsts, they got two seconds, they've got the picks to make a deal. They could throw in Darnold. I don't know if the Texans want Darnold or not. They might say, look, I'm going to take one of those picks and I'm going to get a quarterback. I don't really want Sam Darnold. But maybe as a throw-in, you say, okay, I'll take him as a throw-in and we'll see if it works here. But I think that they've got the inventory because they have the better draft picks. The 49ers make sense. Listen, we went through this the other day. There's a lot of teams that make sense. The 49ers, yeah, if you can move on from Garoppolo and get Deshaun Watson, that seems to be a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, there are a lot of teams that make a lot of sense. I was reading an ESPN Insider story today, you know, one of those where they talked to a bunch of unnamed executives, and the whole conversation was about Deshaun Watson. And the conversation about, you know, where he could end up, my eyes went right to that, and I don't have the story right in front of me, but basically said most of the unnamed executives that ESPN talked to believe that if he moves, it's going to be one of two teams. It's either going to be the New York Jets or it's going to be the Miami Dolphins, because those are the teams that can satisfy what Houston would be looking for right away, and they can do it right away. They can give them multiple picks right away. Multiple first-round picks right away, if that's
right
what it comes
now,
out.
Yep.
They could give them young quarterbacks to replace Deshaun Watson right away if they wanted to. That those two teams have the assets that if they wanted to get involved could make a knock-your-socks-off kind of offer to the Houston Texans that has all of it. The draft picks, the young quarterback, basically whatever Houston would want, those two teams have.
Well, if I'm one of those teams too, if I'm the Jets and the Miami Dolphins, I'm looking for the Buffalo Bills right now. And I'm looking at the Bills and their success and how good they are and Josh Allen, and I'm saying, I might not be able to compete with the Buffalo. You had this unbelievable run by the Patriots. And if you're the Jets and the Dolphins, like, okay, it's open. The door's open now to have some success. And now the Bills, Josh Allen, has an unbelievable year. You're like, oh, my goodness, they're going to be good for a while. Like, they're going to be good for a while. So if you're the Jets or the Dolphins, do you really think that with Tua or with Sam Darnold, you're going to compete with Josh Allen and the Bills? Probably not. But if you got Deshaun Watson, that changes things.
Yeah. When we come back on this Wednesday edition of the Burns and Gambo Show, we're one day closer to Championship Sunday, and it looks like we're one day closer to Patrick Mahomes being the starting quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs on Championship Sunday. The latest as we know it next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Field Yates, 3 hours ago, was the first to report the Chiefs officially list quarterback Patrick Mahomes as a full participant in practice today. Then Stefania Bell and others kind of retweeted that and said, well, the Chiefs later modified their report to indicate that he was officially limited in practice. And I think from what I understand that they, just based off of where he is in the concussion protocol, they're not even allowed to say that he was a full participant. They had to use the word limited. But Andy Reid, in speaking with the media, made it clear that Mahomes made all the throws today. And I tell you, I'll give the Chiefs credit for this. They had the opportunity, I guess they still do, to create a little bit of mystery about who their starting quarterback is going to be on Sunday, even if they know damn well it's going to be Patrick Mahomes. They're not taking it, right? They're he's made all the throws. Oh, he was a full participant. Now he's limited, but screw it. You know what we're talking about. He played today. He practiced, right? I mean,
yeah.
What are we trying to hide from you guys? It's going to be Patrick Mahomes who's going to be our quarterback this weekend, and you're just going to have to deal with that if you're the Bills.
Yeah, listen, if you're the Bills, you're still – he's got a clear, you know, concussion protocol, and it'll be cleared by, a neurologist. So I still got to put a little – preparation into Chad Henne just in case he plays and just in case something happens to Mahomes and he's got to come in. I mean, you got to be somewhat prepared for the backup quarterback. I mean, this is one win and you're in the Super Bowl. I mean, you don't leave any stone unturned. Hey, Chad Henne's coming into the game because Mahomes got knocked out in the first quarter. Wow, we didn't do any homework on Chad Henne. What does he do? Well, does he throw? You know, you can't. That's not going to happen. Like, no stone unturned. You're prepared for everything when you're at this level. You have to. These coaches aren't sleeping. 2 hours, 3 hours tops. They're making sure that nothing gets by them for this game. One win and they're in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, Mahomes limited in practice. Still has some things that he's going to have to do to be able to play, but it looks like it's trending in the right direction.
Yeah, here's Andy Reid on how much Mahomes practiced today, and he basically said he did everything.
So he looked good. He's just he's in the protocol, so there's only certain things he can do, and it's a limited basis, but today is a little bit limited practice. So this fit right into what he could do, and but he took all the snaps, and you know, he feels good. So I mean, we're just going to follow this protocol as close as we possibly can. So.
And they'll keep saying that over and over again: follow the protocol, follow the. That's what they have to say. I mean, it's a protocol that's even kind of beyond Andy Reid. It's up to an independent neurologist and all that stuff. But yeah, I'm sure the Bills. They'll, you know, I doubt Sean McDermott's sleeping much these days anyway, getting ready for the Bills' first AFC Championship game since 1993. I'm sure he'll spend a few of those hours looking at a little Chad Henne tape and making sure his team is ready for that, but it really doesn't sound like there's much reason to. It sounds like Patrick Mahomes is going to die on Sunday. And what? Good. It'll make for a better game on Sunday, right? I mean, good. I'm glad Mahomes is going to play. Let's see what happens with these two.
Was it Colin Cowherd that said that, you know, they should wait until Mahomes is ready to play the game before they could play?
I saw that.
That was so dumb. That's just so
Twitter
dumb.
Today.
We should not play until Mahomes is ready. Well, what if it's 10 days? Well, they should wait 10 days, and then they'll play the game, and then we'll push the Super Bowl. Like, this is the dumbest thing Colin Cowherd's ever said. That's just dumb.
If you're
available. If you're not, you're not. This is when the game's going to be played. If your starters can't go, you have starters that can't go, they can't go.
But we want Mahomes against Josh Allen, right? Like, that's reasonable. And I'm sitting here this morning thinking, if I'm the NFL, Patrick Mahomes is going through protocol. I find the day Patrick Mahomes can play, that's when we play.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Why not? What if it's 10 days?
What if it's Wednesday afternoon?
So if Mahomes had COVID and he couldn't play, we're going to wait 2 weeks till he's done with COVID. We're going to wait. I mean, come on, man. Like, you know, you do get to the point where you're like, okay, that's ridiculous. That's why they have backups. That's why they have, you know, large rosters to overcome the loss of players, because sometimes players are out. But that's ridiculous.
I hadn't heard that audio until Bear played it for me for us just now. I saw it, like I said, I saw it on social media that somebody retweeted it and said, did Colin Cowherd actually say that today? And yeah, he did. I mean, I appreciate what Colin's trying to do. I really do. But that is not a real practical application of how the playoffs are going to be played, nor should it be. I mean, it's like so we've got this big, huge TV window on Sunday afternoon. And I understand. I really do. I understand what he's trying to say. But to think that we should just wait on Patrick Mahomes is obviously nothing we really need to worry about happening. Yeah. That's not how this is going to go down.
No, I don't understand what he's trying to say. I mean, at some point it becomes like ridiculous. It becomes crazy. You can't do that.
I mean, all he's trying to say is that Mahomes versus Allen is such a premier matchup that you'd be depriving the audience of the real matchup if it's Chad Henne versus Josh Allen, and I don't think he really actually believes that the NFL could, would, or should move that game to accommodate Mahomes in the concussion protocol. I think he's just looking for a way to kind of spin it in terms of this matchup is so great that no matter how long we have to wait for it, we should not be deprived of this matchup. You know what I mean? That's ultimately what he's trying to say here.
Yeah. You know, Kansas City, the other thing is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, he's a top running back. I mean, he was limited. Now it's Wednesday, so if he's limited, he's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, he's still got 4 more days, right? 4 more nights. Man, if he can come back and play, that could be a big boost. They got a good rushing attack. I got 3 guys, Williams and Le'Veon Bell. But if they could get Clyde Edwards-Helaire back, he's pretty dynamic. He could really help that Kansas City team.
Well, I know we keep doing this, and I know we keep saying we shouldn't do this, but it's kind of hard not to. When both of these games, both conference championship games, are rematches of games that happened week 6 of the NFL season. If you go back and you look at week 6 when the Chiefs played the Bills, it was not a great Patrick Mahomes game. I think he threw for 225 yards. It was a great game by the rushing attack of the Kansas City Chiefs. They ran all over the Bills in that game, I think to the tune of 250-ish rushing yards when it was all said and done. So if you can get Helaire back and you can duplicate that. Now, to the Bills' credit, this is why the rematch thing gets kind of fuzzy, because to the Bills' credit, man, they are playing at a much higher, much better level than they were, especially their run defense was back in week six. So it's a different matchup now, and we saw that last week against the Ravens and how they shut down Lamar Jackson and Gus Edwards and all of that. But you get Allaire back, and at least you give yourself a chance to try to duplicate that performance you had against them in week six when you ran all over them.
Yeah, I you know, again, the last time that the Kansas City Chiefs won a game by more than 6 points, you were eating Halloween candy. I mean, it's been November 1st. It's been a long time. You know, whether so I don't think that either team's capable of blowing out the other team, because I think it's just it's trending, and it looks like on paper that it should be a very close game. Now, cold weather shouldn't affect either team because they're both cold weather teams. Kansas City plays a lot of close games. You know, the Bills are clicking, though. The one thing that if you like the Bills, you like how good they've been in the second half of this season. Maybe the best team in the NFL since they lost to the Cardinals. Maybe the best team in the whole league since they lost to Arizona. You know, Kansas City, I thought that they were the best team in the NFL all year long. They've only got the one loss, but man, it's just, you know, usually the great teams, usually they beat teams up. They blow some teams out. This team just doesn't do that. So that's why if people like Buffalo, they could turn to that reason and say, okay, here's why I like Buffalo. It'll be a close game because Kansas City doesn't play games that aren't close.
Yeah. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the very latest on the status of the Suns game tonight in Houston and what we can expect from DeAndre Ayton in that game tonight against Houston. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo show. There are a lot of burning questions about tonight's Suns game against the Rockets, and the first burning question has apparently been answered. There will be a game tonight against the Houston Rockets.
Yes.
There was some question about that earlier today. And you know what? There probably should have been some question about that earlier today. If I'm just being honest with you, Gambo, I think the question definitely needed to be asked whether the game should be played. And the reason I say that is that Portland-Memphis today got postponed by the league, the 16th game to be postponed by the NBA this year. And according to Woj, the reason why is contact tracing on the Memphis side of the equation, which, of course, is the last team the Phoenix Suns played when they were in action on Monday. We don't want another Washington Wizards situation on our hands where multiple games are missed because you chose to play one. So there was a stretch there where it felt like this one could have been kind of dicey tonight for the Suns. But James Jones confirmed to us they're playing tonight's game.
Yeah, they're playing. Now, listen, I mean, this contact tracing thing, and the Suns dealt with it, and it cost them three games, and they ended up, you know, having a positive test. They didn't have one Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, but so it takes a little while, and that's why it's contact tracing, because, well, you know, the NBA said that 11 new players in the past week have tested positive for COVID-19. The previous week it was 16, but 11 new players in the past week have tested positive. And of the 16 postponements, 15 have come since January 10th. So we'll see. I mean, that number could rise because Memphis, because of what's going on with Memphis. And then, you know, the Suns could test, you know, today and yesterday and today and tomorrow. And then who knows, maybe 3 days from now, maybe Saturday, they come up with a positive test from the Memphis experience. You just don't know. And you just it's tough to shut down all these other teams that are playing just because a team had contact with Memphis, but that the NBA has done that on a few occasions.
They have, and it just remember, it wasn't that long ago when you and I were having conversations, and I'm not saying this is exactly the same situation, but you and I were having conversations right here on Burns and Gambo about the mistake the league made in allowing the Suns to play the Wizards, given what the Wizards were in the middle of going through.
Right.
And you don't want to repeat that mistake if you're the Suns, and you don't. And look, I'm desperate for them to play a game tonight, too. I wouldn't say I'm desperate to watch a game tonight, but I'm looking forward to watching the game tonight. And not that this is about my entertainment or your entertainment or the entertainment of the people listening. As much as I want tonight's game to be played and I want another opportunity to look at Ayton and look at Booker and see how this team does, If by not playing tonight guarantees that you play the next three, you know, I don't want the NBA to make that mistake again with the Phoenix Suns like was made last week against the Wizards. You know, because that situation got ugly for the Suns. They went a whole week without playing, and I don't want them to go through that again.
No, but this is just not a choice. I mean, if it happens, it happens. I mean, I'm sure the Grizzlies, when they played that game weren't against the Suns, they were, okay, we're good. And all of a sudden now they can't play, you know, this game against Portland. So, you know, we saw the NHL, right? We talked about the NHL earlier today. Like, they've had five games, I think it is. The NHL has had five games that have been called off. I was looking last night. I was just looking at scores, and there were two games that were postponed. You know, two games. The Carolina game in Nashville Tuesday night was postponed due to COVID. They have an abundance of caution to ensure health and safety. Those teams played Monday night. The Hurricanes beat the Predators, and then Carolina and Nashville. But now, so now you're at five games. They got a 56 game regular season. They're cramming all their games in too, and they've got five games that have been postponed so far.
And then the other question for tonight is DeAndre Ayton. And beyond Ayton, okay, let's not make this just about DeAndre Ayton because that's not fair. There's a question about Devin Booker. He's coming off of a terrible, terrible game against Memphis. I think we all expect we've got a far larger body of evidence when it comes to Devin Booker on how he's going to play tonight to expect that he's going to bounce back and play well tonight. We don't have that big body of evidence when it comes to DeAndre Ayton. What we have is a game against Memphis where he played out of his mind. We have the comments from Monty and Chris Paul and Devin Booker about pushing DeAndre Ayton to be better. We have James Jones, who was on with us earlier, talking about how he viewed Ayton's game against the Memphis Grizzlies.
As a building block, as a step forward, I thought he played well. He was big on the boards for us, I think 16 rebounds, and he kept a lot of possessions alive, gave our guys extra opportunities to convert. We did in some instances, but we weren't able to down the stretch. But yeah, that's what we look for him. I think he can do that consistently. He has to do it consistently, and we're going to continue to push him because if he can play that way and carry that mentality into every game, I don't think you'll see very many games where Devin struggles the way he did or where we fail to capitalize. And so he was a bright spot for us that game, and I'm just hopeful he can carried into tonight's matchup against Houston.
And then, of course, hanging over all of that is this, you know, this Ayton trade conversation where Dave Pasch this morning on with Doug and Wolf, very casually, not reporting it, but just saying that he had heard that there had been some conversations about moving him. You reporting that the Suns haven't had conversations about moving him. But either way, just that mere possibility really got the fan base all stirred up, and I wonder how that impacts him tonight, right? I wonder how all of this affects DeAndre Ayton and how he plays against a really good matchup. Christian Wood's a really good player. He's having a really good season, and I want to know how all of this impacts DeAndre Ayton tonight.
Well, DeAndre Ayton's got to look at the Rudy Gobert contract. That's what he should be focused on right now. That's what he should be focused on because he's got a couple of years to prove that he is worthy of that type of money, and that's staring at him. Rudy Gobert got $205 million, okay? DeAndre's on a four-year, $40 million contract. He's making about $10 million a year, and he has a chance if he can, you know, over the next year and a half, if he can turn into a great player, to get contracts that are in that vicinity. Maybe not that much, but, you know, bigger contracts. So if I'm DeAndre, I just got to worry about what, you know, I can control what I can control. I got to go out there. I got to play hard every game. I got to try to be consistent, and I got to do the things that I'm being coached to do. And if I do that, the rest will take care of itself. I can't worry about anything else if I'm DeAndre Ayton. I mean, you can't. You can only control what you can control. And for him, he's got a four-year contract, and then when that contract's over, you know, we get the qualifying offer, the restricted free agents, all of that. But he will have the ability to really cash in by the time he's 25 years old. Like, he'll have that ability. He's going to get another contract in the NBA. We all know that. He's going to get another contract. The question is it a $50 million contract, a $75 million contract, a $100 million contract, a $150 million contract? We don't know. But that will happen by the time he's 25 years old.
Yeah, and whether it's here, whether it's somewhere else, I mean, there's and more than anything, the next future contract of DeAndre Ayton, I get it. That's a big deal, and that's an important conversation to have. But in the more short term, I'm looking at a Suns team that has their best chance to get to the postseason in a number of years, has their best chance to be relevant in the postseason in a number of years. And in many ways, the keys to that happening reside with DeAndre Ayton. So all these long-term big-picture questions are great. They're important. They matter. I get it. There's a very short-term question here, too, and that's about the Suns being as good as they can be. And for them to do that, DeAndre Ayton needs to be more like the guy he was on Monday than he's been for most of this season offensively. And whatever it takes to get that version of DeAndre Ayton out, I mean, James made it very clear to us. There's a lot of pushing at DeAndre Ayton going on right now.
Sure.
You know, from whether it's externally, from people outside the organization, fans, media, whatnot, or internally. Chris Paul, Monty, Devin Booker, they're all trying to figure out which button is the most effective button to push to get the very best DeAndre Ayton. And that, in the short term, is the most important part.
Look, let me give you an example. The guy they're going up against tonight, Christian Wood, right? Christian Wood was on Philly, Charlotte, New Orleans, Milwaukee, Detroit, and now Houston. He's 25 years old. He's been on six teams. He just signed a three-year, $40 million contract. So, like, DeAndre Ayton's going to, like, he's getting $50 million no matter what, okay? And it's probably going to be a lot more than that, but he's getting $50 million no matter what. The question for DeAndre is just the consistency. The consistency turns 50 into 150. The inconsistency, you know, keeps you in the 50 to 75 range probably. So that's why it's Christian Woods. Wood is 25 years old, and he just cashed in 3 years and $40 million, and he's been on a different team every year in his NBA career. 2016, yeah. Philly, 2017, Charlotte, 2018 in New Orleans, 19, Milwaukee, 20, Detroit. Every year, the guy's been on a different team, and he got 3 years and $41 million. So we know DeAndre's going to get a contract from somebody. The question is just how much.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, it has been a slow offseason for the Arizona Diamondbacks, but they've made a couple of deals, and if they want to keep up with their division rivals in Los Angeles, they might want to think about making a few more. We'll tell you the latest on what's going on with the D-backs and the Dodgers next on the Burns and Gambo show. We're not expecting people to get all that jacked up about Chris Devensky. We understand. Okay, we understand that the only people who might own a Ryan Buchter jersey are Ryan's family and close friends.
And even
some of them might not want a Ryan Buchter jersey. They might prefer Ketel Marte or Madison Bumgarner or somebody like that. But we cannot report the news different than how it is. And the news is, in the last 24 hours, those are the names of the two players that the Arizona Diamondbacks have added. We didn't think it was going to be a real juicy offseason for the D-backs. Up until this point, it hasn't. But Nick Pecoro of The Republic reported that the Diamondbacks have signed Devensky to a minor league deal with an opportunity to earn a whole lot more money if he gets called up to the majors. And then the lefty, Buchter, was yesterday on a minor league contract. And so far, in what has been a quiet offseason for the Arizona Diamondbacks, this is what we've got so far from the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah, flyers, right? Flyers on guys trying to catch lightning in a bottle with a couple of guys that, you know, haven't been that good, that may have had success in the past, but, you know, aren't good enough right now to get a major league contract. So you give them a minor league contract, and if they make the team, then, you know, they can make, what, $1 million, I think. So this is just providing some depth in the organization and, again, trying to catch lightning in a bottle. The Diamondbacks are going to address their need for bullpen help. They will do it. And it very well could come via trade rather than free agency. There are a lot of names out there, but they are looking at some trade possibilities too, on my understanding. So I expect that you'll see a trade, and I expect you'll see free agent signings, and I expect you'll see a right-handed bat in here and some bullpen arms. So this is not the answer. This isn't what, okay, this is their bullpen. These aren't the guys that they're going to count on to be and that bullpen. These guys might be given an opportunity, but they're still going to go out and get other players.
Yeah, and I have no doubt in my mind, whether it's via trade or whether it's via free agency, and we've talked about this many times, I think how this offseason is going to go down for the Diamondbacks and a lot of other teams in Major League Baseball is they're going to wait and wait and wait and wait, because eventually the players will need a gig. The players will need to play somewhere so they can earn some money in 2021, and because there's going to be this huge amount of supply and very limited demand because there's only so many teams, I think you're going to see a lot of deals. I think you're going to see a lot of bargains. You're going to see a lot of players that you weren't expected to be able to get that you can get at very reasonable salaries, because there's not a lot of money in the game right now, at least not the money compared to what we're used to seeing in the game. And that's going to affect – it's not collusion, as you've said, and I agree. It's not collusion. It's just individual teams kind of making the decision, we just can't spend a lot on payroll this year because we lost it last year, and we're probably going to lose it again this year, and you're going to get deals on the market because of that.
You know, I remember saying that, you know, the Diamondbacks are not going to be aggressive early on, right? They're not going to be aggressive in November or December. They're going to wait this out until, you know, later January, early February. So we're at that time now, though. We're at that time where, you know, Bauer will probably end up with a team within the next couple of days. Springer just ended up with a team. We saw the Lindor trade. Everything's going to start to come together right now, and I think that's when, you know, you'll see the Diamondbacks make a couple of moves here. I don't think they're going to be overly aggressive, but I think I could see two, you know, a couple of free agent signings and a trade or two to address the issues that they have, which is the bullpen, and then, of course, the right-handed bat, which they're going to need. Remember, they went to the workout for Corey Kluber just to see, but they're not in that type of market for that type of price for a player.
It is weird to see, and this is just a side note here that is not pertinent to anything necessarily. It is very strange to see a Major League Baseball offseason in which Mike Hazen hasn't done something worth talking about, you know, something dramatic. He's just about every offseason he's been here, there's been something. Right, there's been the Marte trade, the Goldschmidt trade, the Bumgarner acquisition, Cole Calhoun. I mean, just about every offseason, Hazen has. In fact, I'd have to look at it. I don't think there's been an offseason where he hasn't done something kind of unexpected, a little bit bold, a little bit didn't see that one coming kind of moment. I guess the Goldschmidt trade we saw coming, but they were very active, I guess, is the point that I'm getting. And they've And you understand why they've been very inactive so far this offseason. And it's been strange to see because we're just used to so much more.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know how long, if this is just a one-year thing or not. But when you lose upwards of, you know, let's say $75 million, like that's just not, okay, we lost $75 million, everything's back to normal. We don't know if they're going to have fans in the stands. We don't know that. If they're going to have baseball games are going to be starting in 2 months. We don't know if there's going to be fans in spring training. I would doubt that there's going to be fans in spring training. I would doubt that. And then I don't know if there's going to be fans or limited fans, you know, when you get there. Like the Coyotes have a very limited amount of fans that, you know, that they're allowing into their building. And maybe that's what it is. But the revenue, you can't say, okay, they're going to get 2 million people walking through the gates. That's not happening this year. It's not happening. You're not getting 2 million fans through the gate. I don't know if you're getting a million fans through the gate, to be honest with you. So now you go back into the same thing. You're going to lose money. Now, you may not lose $75 million, but maybe you lose $50 million. Those losses got to come out of somewhere. Now, the Padres were very active, and I've had people ask, well, man, why are the Padres so active? They got a new owner. Wants to make a splash. They got a new owner that wants to put his footprint down. And here I am. I'm here, and I want to win. And so that guy's going to take some of the losses on.
And that's something you have to contend with if you're the Diamondbacks. And, of course, the L.A. Dodgers are something you have to contend with if you're the Arizona Diamondbacks. And this is not going to make anybody feel any better about that, because Jeff Passan reported earlier today the Dodgers are monitoring the market for Trevor Bauer and could be a player on Trevor Bauer depending on the price. The focus for the Dodgers remains on a right-handed infield bat, Passan reports, but Bauer and the Dodgers remain a possibility. Alden Gonzalez, a reporter for ESPN, took it a step further and pointed out that only Mookie Betts is on the books beyond the 2022 season, and that Bauer would, they wouldn't want him on a long-term deal. They would much rather him taking a short-term deal that pays him a lot of money per year as a way of getting him, but only getting him in the short term, knowing they've got to re-sign Cody Bellinger, knowing they've got to re-sign Walker Buehler at some point. But if they could get him short term on a high average annual value, yeah, they'd kick the tires on Trevor Bauer and see if they could do that, sure.
You know, you wish that there were you wish you had the ability to do that if you're the Diamondbacks. The fact that Trevor Bauer's not signed means, you know, to me that he is, you know, I'm not going to take that. I'm not going to take a bad deal. I'm not going to take a one-year bad deal. Now, we'll see. The push comes to shove. I mean, agents might be telling these players, look, take the one-year deal and go back into – he's 30 years old. He goes back into the market at 31, he should be fine.
Yeah. Time for the Coors Light What's On Tonight, the games that we are going to watch this evening, brought to you by our friends at Coors Light. We've got a double dip of action tonight, Suns and the Yotes. Suns at the Rockets, 7:30 tip time. You'll hear it here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. And then game two of this four-game little pod against the Golden Knights for the Coyotes. That game starts at 8 o'clock from Vegas, and it's on Fox Sports Arizona Plus. So two games tonight. We'll be talking about them both tomorrow. We're out of here. We'll see you tomorrow, too, right here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a great night, everyone.